A lot of legislators were in the queue, so we're going to get started now. It's now 1:07, and on Wednesday, July 1st, it's the first day of July here in the Anchorage LIO, Denali Conference Room. Members present online include Representative Story, Representative Stutz, Representative Edgman, Representative Ortiz, Representative Rasmussen, and his representative and Representative Hannon. All right, so and myself, Representative Sponholz, Chair. Are there any representatives online that I haven't recognized? All right, let the record reflect that we have a quorum to conduct business, as well as a couple of additional legislators online listening today. Thanks to everybody for participating via teleconference. Given that we're meeting remotely right now, I want to ask folks that are online to mute their phones until they plan to speak, and that'll help keep the live stream as clear as possible for everybody. All right, I'd also like to acknowledge Representative Sullivan Leonard is on the line as well. Before we begin, I want to thank Sophia Tenney, the Labor and Commerce Secretary from House Records, and Nate Williams from the Juneau LIO for staffing the committee in Juneau, and thank Johan Timmers here in the Anchorage LIO for his work on behalf of the committee. Today we're going to be hearing from several invited testifiers who have input on the AK CARES grant program for small businesses and nonprofits who have suffered hardship as a result of ongoing COVID-19 public health measures. The following invited testimony, we're going to invite open up the committee to public testimony. The invited testimony includes Tim Dillon from the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District, Mandy Hawes with Debt Loss Travel Vans in South Central Alaska, John Bittner with the Alaska Small Business Development Center, Robert Venerables from the Southeast Conference, Shirley Markhart with the Southeast Alaska Municipal Conference, and Scott Swingle with the Malamute Saloon in Fairbanks. Because we have so many invited testifiers today, we're going to ask everybody, ask committee members to hold on to their questions until after the invited testifiers have had the opportunity to offer their testimony. And before we begin, I just want to make a couple of comments. You know, the reason for this hearing today is that we've been hearing that there are some pretty serious concerns about the limitations of the AK CARE Small Business and Nonprofit Relief Program. We won't be hearing from the Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development today, but we did get some updated numbers from DCCED about the program. As of the close of business on June 29th, that would be Monday, the AK CARES program had received 1,947 applications. Of those, 167 have been approved, so that's fewer than 1% of all applications have been approved after about 1 month of the program being live. Those 167 applications total $6.28 million, or about 2% of available funds. If all applications that have been received so far were to be approved, then they would spend, those would total $84,610,897 total applications. That would be about 29% of available funds, or about, and so what we know, just based on that evidence, just those facts alone, are that there's a large number of businesses and nonprofits that have applied that haven't received any funding yet. And even if we were to fund every single application, we would still have about 71% of the available $290 million in funds available. So I think that we're going to be hearing from members of the community about ways that we can make the program more flexible and open it up to a broader range of businesses and nonprofits.
Madam Chair.
Yes, go ahead.
I'm sorry, this is Rep. Rasmussen. Could you send those numbers out? And did you say it was about 1,000 applications and about 100 have been approved? Because I just wanted to make sure. I heard you say 1% have been approved, and I was just trying to get clarification.
Sure. We will send all this information out. We've got an email that we got from DCCED that we'll forward on to the entire committee. There's been 1,947 applications received, and 167 have been approved. So that's less than 1% of all applications have been approved, Representative Rasmussen.
I think it's about 10%, but yeah, thank you.
Is it? It's 10%? All right. All right, thank you. Credit Union One is bringing on additional staff to help process the 8K CARES applications, and they amended their internal procedures to speed up the process. Credit Union One has also created a series of instructional videos, which should be helpful. BCCED has added some information to its FAQs to try and assist applicant businesses in submitting complete applications for the first time. We understand that there's been some problems with application. And then BCCED had held a training session with Arters this week to ensure that they know how to complete the applications when assisting small businesses. So we're glad to hear about these efforts, but we've been hearing that they continue to have problems with lack of staffing and adequate information. So we're hoping that we'll get some information out on the record today about ways that this program can be approved, eliminating unnecessary bureaucracy so that we can ensure that the other 90% of applicants to the program get those funds in a timely manner, and also that we consider opening up the program more broadly. So a broader range of businesses will be able to receive those funds. All right. So first up, we're going to turn our attention to Mr. Tim Dillon with the Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District. Mr. Dillon, are you on the line?
Good afternoon. Putting myself on the record, Tim Dillon, Executive Director, Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District. I appreciate being able to speak to you about the Alaska CARES Act, specifically the small business relief portion. I've spent the last several months listening and assisting small businesses and nonprofits across the Kenai Peninsula. I've learned a lot about what's going on to these organizations. They are the fabric of our economy. I'm here today to lay out four points of change that will fix Alaska CARES Act. Number one, allow commercial fishermen's permits to count as a business license. The RPL states that everyone must have a business license, but commercial fishermen don't have a business license. They have a permit. Number two, 501c6s should be eligible for the Alaska CARES Act funds. We need to remember, these are our chambers of commerce and our trade organizations. Number three, a small business should be eligible for Alaska CARES Act funding, even if they received PPP, EIDL, or municipal relief. John Binder is going to be speaking to this later, but we need to remember, these are not federal requirements. These are part of the RPL. Number four, give DCCED the authority to make minor changes. In this environment, they need to be able to get things done that are common sense. So how did I get here? By listening and communicating with small businesses, nonprofits, and the other executive directors for all the arters. We are the boots on the ground. We currently have a great team of folks leading the way with Julie Anderson, the Commissioner of Commerce, and Alan Wetzner, the Interim Executive Director of the Alaska Industrial Development Export Authority. But they don't have the tools to get the job done. Let's look at the numbers. The governor's goal is to get money in the hands of small businesses. In fact, $150 million in the first 30 days was what the goal was. My numbers are a little bit more updated than yours were, Ms. Chair. As of June 30th, the total number that was dispersed has been $6,394,154.25. $143 million less than the administration and communities wanted in the business's hands for that first 30 days. This is no one's fault. It's just that the rules don't match up with the needs. In fact, if we took the 280 applications that Credit Union One is currently processing from rural communities and the 996 applicants from the metro areas and added all of what they have requested plus the funds that have been dispensed to date, you're still less than $70 million. So unless we plan on returning over $200 million to the federal government, we need to make these suggested changes now. I returned to Kenai last night from Homer, where I spent time with businesses trying to survive. I need to remind everybody that no one is getting rich with this money. No one is being made whole with this money. These are business owners and nonprofits that listen to our elected officials, not just from the state but from the federal government, did what was recommended, and now because of how the RPL was written, they are being penalized. These are your and my neighbors, farmers, restaurant owners, fishermen, shop owners, food banks, and the list goes on. According to the Center for Economic Development, as of June 16th, about 30% of Alaska businesses were still closed despite the lifting of the mandates. That compares to the rest of the country where they're sitting at 15.5%. Consumer spending in Alaska is down 13% as compared to 8.5% nationally. The Kenai Peninsula Economic Development District has done two surveys on the peninsula with over 924 businesses participating. 24.2% of those businesses said they are at risk of closing permanently. And 44.1% stated they were unsure on survival depending on relief. All of the incorporated communities here on the Kenai Peninsula are doing everything they can to salvage their businesses and nonprofits. The city of Kenai, who took part of their municipal relief, had a two-week application period, and last Friday they sent out $1,250,000 to 47 different nonprofits and $655,000 to 109 small businesses for a total of $1,905,000. This fix is not difficult. Please help us retain our way of life and salvage our economy. I get the fact that some of the legislators don't want to go to Juneau because of other issues. But if you care at all about this great state of Alaska, you will go to Juneau now and pass this proposal, because businesses and nonprofits cannot wait another 30, 60, or 90 days. I promise it can be done in a day. Fly in the morning, get this taken care of, and fly home at night. And as you will hear from some of the others testifying today, we will help you get it done. I thank you for your time, and I would be happy to answer questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Dillon. We're actually going to hold questions until the end of testimony so we can make sure that we get through everybody's testimony. There's just one data point that I just want to correct for the record, and that is that we can't actually have a full session in one day, unfortunately. It has to be, I think, technically 3 business days, but we can do it very expeditiously, and I appreciate your comments there. All right, next step, we have Mandy Hawes, an entrepreneur with Get Lost Travel Vans, which is a local startup business that operates here in South Central. Ms. Hawes, are you on the line?
Thank you so much. Good afternoon. My name is Mandy Hawes, and I'm testifying today on behalf of Get Lost Travel Vans, a startup that I own with my husband, Darren, and one other couple. I also represent LES Resort as its general manager and sit on the Visit Anchorage board. I was born and raised in Kenai, and after a brief stint out of state, my husband and I moved to Girdwood 17 years ago, both working at Alyeska Resort. 4 years ago, my husband left Alyeska to start our own business. After exploring many ideas, we introduced the European-style camper van to Alaska for summer rentals as a smaller profile and more fuel-efficient RV alternative. Our first summer, we converted 10 Dodge Caravans using a local boat builder for the fabrication. The van seatbelt 5 and sleep 4 adults with a double bed inside the van and a pop-up tent on the roof. When you lift the back hatch, there's a full kitchenette, including an electric sink with running water, a double burner stove, a small refrigerator, USB ports for charging electronics, and a cooking surface. We even include blackout curtains and mosquito netting to cover open windows, a truly Alaskan feature. Our rental location is off of International in Cordova, a quick Uber ride from the Anchorage Airport. We pay vehicle rental tax to both the state and the municipality. Our first summer exceeded expectations, primarily from International and Lower 48 visitors. Our second summer, we added 5 additional vehicles for a fleet of 15 vehicles, and we were sold out most of July and August. This is our third summer, the summer of COVID-19. While we had strong pre-bookings prior to March, most of our bookings have canceled. After this summer, our business plan included obtaining additional financing to scale up the model that is now proven. However, at this point, our future is uncertain. When the Federal CARES Act legislation was passed in March, we applied for the EIDL. The PPP program, by definition, is based on paychecks or payroll spend. Even though this is my husband's primary work, as a startup, we have not yet paid ourselves from the business, have not taken draws, rather focusing on building equity. Therefore, our best option was to apply for an EIDL loan. Last summer, we had one employee, so we claimed one FTE on our EIDL application. We heard nothing back from the SBA for weeks. Meanwhile, there was a storm of cancellations with all our cash flowing out and none flowing in. On April 24th, we received a total of $1,000 in our bank account from the SBA. This is our total grant from the EIDL. When the Alaska CARES program was released, we were ineligible. The act of proactively using a federal program that was available back to us in March has now precluded us from receiving grants that have subsequently been released from both the city and the state. We are still currently ineligible to apply for Alaska CARES funding. Fortunately, we made it to early June with enough cash. On June 9th, we received our $90,000 EIDL loan at a 3.75% interest rate, which we have at this time no choice but to accept. This $90,000 is not income to us or grant relief. It is a debt. It is a debt that will put us out of business if we use it to pay our operating expenses, like rent and insurance, and cover a cash shortfall, rather than used for investing in assets. While it is a relief to have a cash cushion, what small businesses and startups like ours need are grants, not loans. My graduate work is an MBA with a concentration in finance. It is clear that this loan without an offsetting asset creates an impossibility for our business to survive long term. This loan will flip our debt-to-equity ratio. It's bad balance sheet management and bad business. We have to pay it back. The EIDL and the PPP were very different programs. The state should not lump these programs together. I understand that there's a revision to move the threshold to less than $5,000 in total funding. However, this language is still problematic, as we have now received more than $5,000 in total funding, $1,000 of which is in the form of a grant. The remainder is a loan. If the legislature would insert the word grant into that funding phrase, we would be eligible. Please adjust the language to allow those of us that have not yet received any meaningful assistance to get help from our state. Additionally, at the federal and the state level, there have been carve-outs for specific industries, education, health, transportation, fishing, etc. There has been no carve-out for tourism, no funding for that sector. It has the number one unemployment claims and job losses. Of the roughly 42,000 jobs lost in the state of Alaska, 15,600, or almost 40% of all jobs lost, were from tourism. Please let data drive your decisions and create relief programs specific to the number one affected industry in our state. Small business, entrepreneurship, and tourism in Alaska are and have been a bright beacon for our state economy. Let's not see that light get snuffed out. In closing, please adjust the Alaska CARES Act funding language to allow businesses like Kitloff Travel Vans to receive state grant relief, not just loans that create unsustainable futures. Use the $290 million as it was intended to help small businesses and startups. Please look at ways to aid the number one affected industry in our state that has yet to have meaningful support as an industry. Thank you for your time, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today, Ms. Haas. We are going to hold questions so we can make sure we can get through our long list of invited testifiers. I want to just acknowledge that Representative Gillis joined us at 1:17. Thank you for joining us today, Mr. Gillis. And next up, we're going to turn our attention to John Bittner with the UAA Small Business Development Center. Mr. Bittner, are you on the line?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is John Bittner. I'm the Executive Director of the Alaska Small Business Development Center, and I'd like to thank you and the committee for the opportunity to speak today. As you've heard from the previous two presenters, my testimony is going to be much in the same vein. We're entering the fourth or fifth month of a COVID-19 pandemic, depending on how you count it, and things aren't looking great for Alaska businesses. Although the federal government has deployed 10,756 PPP loans worth about a little over $1.2 billion, 5,500 economic injury disaster loans worth $342 million, and 9,376 EIDL grants worth a little under $30 million, Alaska businesses are still hurting, and our workforce is still largely unemployed. The possible extension of the PPP program, which was slated to stop taking applications yesterday, is some comfort. The Senate did pass an unexpected extension. The House and hopefully the President will follow suit, especially considering the changes they made to eligible expenses that will benefit commercial fishing businesses in the state, allowing them to claim more payroll. The unfortunate fact, though, is that the vast majority of the businesses in Alaska that can take advantage of that program probably already have, and most of them have spent or are well on their way to spending out the funds they received in order to get them forgiven. The easing of the restrictions on business operations and sheltering in place across the state have provided some help to businesses, especially those in retail and food service, allowing them to bring in more customers, but it's not nearly enough to offset the massive loss of regular customers and tourists that they would normally rely on over the summer months. Additionally, the rising number of COVID-19 cases nationally and in the state are adding an added layer of uncertainty and concern among business owners and their employees. To try and understand what assistance and support Alaska's businesses are going to need going forward, the AKSBDC conducted a survey of businesses across the state between June 18th and June 26th. Out of the 1,076 businesses we surveyed, we received 221 responses, about a 20% response rate. We found that most of them had applied for some form of COVID-19 related funding. 47 had applied for Alaska Cares, 137 had applied for EIDL, 122 for the EIDL grants, 131 for PPP, and 21 for local government options. As a matter of how much they requested, only 23 requested less than $5,000. Of the applications that were approved, 4 Alaska Care Grants applications, or 8.5%, 95 EIDL, 69%, 86 EIDL grants, around 70%, and 110 PPP loans for 84%, and 10 local government financing options, so a little under 50%. 56 of those received less than $5,000 in approved funding, including 30 who received no money at all, and 131 received more. We also asked them whether or not they felt the Alaska Cares program should be open to all businesses and nonprofits regardless of how much funding they had received. 123 said yes, 38 said no, and 60 were unsure. When asked if their businesses were likely to lay off staff in the next 6 months if they didn't receive additional funding, 97 said yes, 51 said no, and 73 were unsure. I could talk to you for quite some length about what we're hearing from businesses, but I feel like it might be beneficial for you to hear directly from the folks that responded to our survey of what they're going through right now. They're much more eloquent about it than I am. We received around 60 comments specifically about the Alaska Cares program and its impact on these businesses. All but one of them were for opening up the restrictions, reducing the eligibility restrictions to allow more businesses in. This business from Anchorage says, tying receipt of Alaska Cares money to prior receipt of PPP funds ignores the fact that many categories of business expense were deemed off limit to those PPP funds. I can't use them and get this loan forgiven for financing, insurance, licenses, permits. These are the vast majority of my operational expenses. Any future grant funds should be completely open with no restrictions on prior receipt of federal funding. Out of Skagway, we have one industry, cruise lines. They aren't allowed for at least a year. Our town is rife with fear as not a single person has any confidence that we will survive until next year. Without help, I could easily see an exodus of 60% of the population here. If that happens, when the cruise industry does return, the experience won't be the same, which will accentuate the death spiral. Out of Sitka, we need any sort of forgivable grants available. We are in a rural area and cannot open until April 2021. We were forced to lay off our 2 full-time employees because we have run out of PPP and have not been approved for an SBA loan, as our 50-year-old business was unverifiable. The Alaska Cares funding is not available for us because we received $24,000 in PPP. We need help. in Ketchikan. If I had known grants would be available, I wouldn't have gone for the loans. I'm still $20,000 short to survive until May 2021 to coincide with the cruise ship season. Out of Kenai, the amount we were given based on payroll did not even cover overhead for 1 month. The fact that you can't reapply with the Alaska CARES Act is not helping our local small businesses. In Homer, I have two businesses that will likely close over the winter and may never reopen if I cannot refinance or receive additional loans. I do not qualify for the Alaska CARES grant because I received the PPP and EIDL. We've been in business for 17 years, and without additional funds, we will likely have a fire sale or risk bankruptcy. Hopefully more options will open up for hotels and restaurants. I know other industries are suffering as well. Please consider more options in order for small businesses to survive. And lastly, out of Cordova, I would qualify for $80,000 from the Alaska CARES grant program, but I qualified for $32,000 for PPP. Please let me apply for the CARES grant and deduct what I received from PPP from my eligibility. Had I known the amounts offered would vary so significantly, I would not have applied for the PPP. PPP covered 75% of salaries for 2 months and 2 months of rent. While I'm grateful for that, there are many other expenses that the CARES grant would cover that PPP did not. I was mandated to close for 6 weeks, and I have 8 weeks of lost revenue, plus now 4 weeks of partial revenue and increased expenses and costs of doing business. Please open up the CARES funding to businesses like mine. Thank you. There's dozens more comments like this, all of them some variation of the theme that they are on the ropes, financially, emotionally, any which way you look at it. Their employees are suffering, they're suffering, businesses are going under. I strongly urge this group to listen to the testimony, both the two previous speakers and anyone after this, and hopefully we can find a solution to help these businesses that have done so much to help us try and stem the growth of COVID-19 in the state. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony today, Mr. Bittner. And I'd like to ask you and everybody who's testifying today if you can email in your testimony to the House Labor and Commerce Committee. The email is HLAC, the initials for House Labor and Commerce, at akleg.gov. And then we can make sure that everybody on the committee has access to some of the comments and the numbers that you mentioned. All right, and with that, we're going to take a move next to Bill Popp with the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. Mr. Popp, are you on the line?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, I am. I'm Bill Popp. I'm President and CEO of the Anchorage Economic Development Corporation. I appreciate this invitation to address the committee. I will not repeat the comments that have been stated by the folks who have testified before me. They have all made very cogent and targeted and, in many cases, painful comments in terms of the situation that we are all seeing in the business communities that we serve. We are dealing with dire circumstances. Unfortunately, we seem to be stuck in fighting this fight with old methods for old reasons as opposed to adapting to this exceptional, never-before-seen situation in our economy, in our state. And we have to break up that thinking. We took heart in the early days of the AK CARES program when the testimony that we have provided previously, many of us, as well as those comments from others, had helped to turn the AK CARES program from adding more debt on already troubled balance sheets by converting it to a grants program. But unfortunately, the restrictions that have been placed on this, probably for the best of intentions, and quite frankly, would have worked if we were just dealing with a simple recessionary period where we've got a contraction of the economy. It needs to be looked at from a different direction. What we are facing is destruction of our economy, significant destruction of aspects of our economy, where nothing will be left standing in many cases in terms of the businesses that previously existed. If we do not take extraordinary steps to get this hundreds of millions of dollars that is basically sitting there inches away from those who need it desperately and getting it out into the economy. I am fully supportive of the needs that have been previously discussed in terms of allowing 501c6 to be eligible, that small businesses should be eligible even if they've received PPP, EIDL, or municipal relief funding, and to also give DCCED authority to make minor changes in the program, because this is new ground, and we are covering areas that we've never had to cover before in a rapidly developing program, and there needs to be some freedom for the administration to make adjustments. And all of this is going to have to be done in all likelihood through a special session of the legislature. We are currently back to square one of this program, where you left it at the end of the last special session, because of the recently amended lawsuit against the program. I cannot urge you enough to think about this in the terms of not only the businesses that are at high risk of going under if we do not do something soon, but also the very concept that is being touted often about getting our workers back to work. Where are they going to work if these businesses are gone? There's not some magic job tree out there that these workers can walk up, pick a fruit, and go to work. These are the businesses that we are relying on to get our Alaskan citizens back to work. The latest data tells us that 42,000 citizens, and I believe this is a significant underestimate of this number, I think it's probably closer to 50,000, Alaskans are currently on unemployment in the latest data. And just in the latest data for weekly first-time claims, while we are lucky in the fact that they are no longer in the five-digit range, June 13th demonstrated 6,797 Alaskans filing first-time for unemployment. While the rate is declining, the numbers are still epic compared to where we were just before this whole situation started, where in the week of March the 7th, we had 815 first-time claimants. Folks, this is an ongoing disaster, and we need to address it rapidly. We need to be dynamic in our thinking. We have to get over our separate issues. We need to address this quickly. I urge the legislature to come back into special session on a narrowly focused session to get this program fixed, because otherwise you are going to be dealing with a very difficult and awkward situation next spring, when hundreds of businesses that are currently in business are no longer in existence. Madam Chair, thank you. I appreciate this opportunity for testifying.
Thank you very much for your testimony today, Mr. Pop. All right. Next up, we're going to go to Shirley Markhart with the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference. Ms. Markhart, are you on the line?
Thank you, Chair. For the record, my name is Shirley Markhart, and I am the Executive Director of the Southwest Alaska Municipal Conference. We serve the Aleutians East Borough, Aleutians West Census Area, the Bristol Bay Borough, the Dillingham Census Area, the Kodiak Island Borough, and the Lake and Penn Borough. Thank you for the opportunity to testify on the Alaska Cares Grant Program. There are plenty of stories in my region, told by family-owned and operated restaurants, bars, charter fishing vessels, and hunting and fishing lodges that all have the same last common refrain. They applied for and received over $5,000 in PPP or EIDL funds in early April to get their employees through what everybody at that time assumed would be, maybe a month or so of business interruption due to COVID-19 shutdowns and restrictions. Yet 3.5 months later, they're in deep trouble with vendor invoices, utility payments, rent or mortgage payments, and insurance payments due since March 16, which could not be paid with PPP. And they had little to zero revenue during that time to pay them. Some have used their business and personal credit cards to pay bills, and they're at their limit. Some have used most or all of their savings to pay bills. If we're talking about financial triage, they've been trying to cover gaping wounds with Band-Aids when they actually need a full-body cast. Their situation is dire, and they've been left out the most effective of solutions, the Alaska Cares Small Business Grant Program. If changes were made to the program, the hundreds of millions of dollars designated to help our many small businesses avoid closing their doors and losing everything in many cases, those dollars could do their job. So I'm in agreement with both Tim Dillon and Bill Popp. Number one, small businesses should be eligible to apply regardless of PPP, EIDL, or municipal relief funding. Allow DCCED the authority to make minor changes to the program when it does not change the intent of the funding. Allow 501c6 organizations to be eligible for Alaska Care Grant funds. These are organized to promote businesses and are working very hard to help folks, and they don't generate a profit, but they are not eligible for the SBA PPP, and they are also hurting badly. To allow commercial fishermen permits to count as a business license. The CFEC says, paraphrasing, that limited entry permit serves basically as their business license to sell directly to processors, so it's not a far jump. I know that it's difficult to go back and fix problems, but it would be shameful to not fix these identified complications and to watch small businesses across the state close their doors and families end up deeply in debt through no fault of their own. Tim Dillon was exactly right. The rules do not fit the need. We were successful here in Alaska at flattening the curve of hospitalizations in the past 3.5 months, and that's great. However, we are well behind the curve in terms of getting almost $300 million of financial relief into the hands of our neighbors, friends, and families. Please move as quickly as you can to address the situation and make the Alaska Cares program a successful program that Alaska can be proud of. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony today, Ms. Markert. Next up, we're going to go to Scott Swingle, who's the owner of the Malamute Saloon and Esther Gold Camp in the Fairbanks area. Mr. Swingle?
Yes, thank you for allowing the time for testimony here and my my input. Again, for the record, my name is Scott Swingle. I am owner of the Esther Gold Camp and Malamute Saloon, a seasonal tourism business that's been around since 1950. We, to give you a little bit, just a snippet of the backstory, why I've been in your shoes. I spent the past 20 years doing economic development or entrepreneurial development, 5 years as a director here in Fairbanks for the Small Business Development Center, followed by 15 years as the senior area manager for SBA in the state of Alaska. I've traveled all around the state. I've worked with many different grant programs, assisting businesses through all sorts of disasters and problems and different things. Early in 2019, I left after 20 years of that to pursue my love for entrepreneurship and business ownership full time. And that's when we purchased the Esther Gold Camp and Malamute Saloon. We dumped a lot of money into it, pretty excited. Obviously, we know what has resulted in that. Because of our unique situation, we did not qualify for the PPP or the Federal Economic Injury Loan. When Alaska Cares was announced, we were very excited. This was a crutch, basically a safety device to maybe get a little bit further along cash flow and survive this this time and stay afloat. I was eager. I got up at 6 a.m. on June 1st and waited for the portal to open at 10 o'clock. It was available. I put my information in, and by 2 o'clock, June 1st, the first day that it was open, I got a receipt back that said, thank you for your application. It has been received. That was June 1st. I have not gotten any calls, any emails, no correspondence since that point in time. We check our spam email daily. We're running a business. We're always on board. We're working 12, 14 hours a day. So there's virtually no option that it could have been slipped to someplace else or not seen in some other email. The bottom line is what comes to mind, the Titanic is sinking with lifeboats on board. The cash is there. The intentions are there. We fit this program, but it's been 30 days today with no correspondence at all. The first person who spoke, Tim, in Kenai, had some very good facts. The bottom line, the cash is there. I do understand from my 20 years of entrepreneurial assistance, we have to be careful for fraud. We have to tiptoe along, and I think that's wonderful. But the bottom line, we've got the cash to help people try to last a little bit longer. And if we dilly-dally, like I'm seeing with our particular application, and we're not getting the cash to the businesses to just survive a little bit longer, it's too late. The time that it's taking for Credit Union One to process these applications or even reach out to say this is what else we need to finish is just not acceptable, period. This just needs to get out there. Also mentioned, if we don't get it out there, it's going to have to be returned. Well, I agree. It needs to get out there. I do approve on the other side, the business side of representing the state of Alaska over the many years of all the businesses, insisting them, the folks that are saying open this Alaska Cares up to other individuals. I commend that request. I think it's awesome. But that being said, for those 1,100 or whatever businesses that applied that did not fit anything, that already that really fit the alignment with the parameters that were laid out, only a few have been funded. And so we've got our nest egg, and we're working for free. We haven't had any pay as our employees are just standing by. We keep bumping our opening date because, you know, another resurgence of COVID in the bars here in Fairbanks. So we're tiptoeing along, but, you know, we're treading water, as so many others are. And the bottom line is that cash was not, we shouldn't, you know, I commend loan officers for taking their time and reviewing every little thing, but we really, really need to push them to get these applications reviewed in really short order. It's not a loan. We're not checking credit and business plans and 2 weeks for each application. These are, you know, Mayday survival grant cash. And from my observation, it's not being treated that way at all. So with that said, I hope that you can put some pressure or nudge or find a way to streamline and speed up this cash getting into the people that are treading water. And, you know, once they go under, it's the domino effect. It's not just that business. It's the people that work for those businesses, the people they owed money to, the family members. As we know, it's a, you know, it's a multiplier effect for sure. So with that said, I really appreciate you letting me speak today. I am open to further questions, follow-up, anything to do with this process. My main intention today was to tell you my particular situation and where I'm at. But my 20 years of statewide entrepreneur, you know, development, I'm also open to assist in any way you folks need to get this across the line. So thank you very much.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today, Mr. Swingle. All right. Next up, we're going to go to Robert Venerable with the Southeast Conference. Mr. Venerable.
Thank you, Madam Chair and committee members. For the record, my name is Robert Venables. I'm the executive director for Southeast Conference. And really, my remarks here will just put the exclamation mark on what you've heard articulated very well today. What I really would like to say just right up front is the CARES grant program is a good program. And while there's issues and problems that you just heard about the current execution, I'm confident that Department of Commerce will, you know, will work through those with Credit Union One. And that's, you know, and I'm sure legislative pressure and awareness may heighten that, quicken that. But where the legislative action really is needed is on these particular points that have been raised. And for the record, my testimony really is the survey, which you all got a copy of, which just was released this last week, and really is the voice of Southeast businesses. We had responses from 460 individual businesses, and the brief remarks that I will make will be to echo what we heard there, because the funding that has been set aside by the legislature and the administration are sufficient to address the eligible businesses that are applying for that, and it appears to be quite sufficient to support expanded eligibility. But the need is far greater than what the current program allows, and that is the key point that requires your attention and action, please. You know, it's known that our economy is in dire straits. We're not going to belabor that point. What's unknown is really the duration. And what this survey does is really give voice to those concerns as well and provides insights to what is likely to be maybe a two-year winter economy, especially for these seasonal businesses that we have in the more tourism focus, resource development, and the fisheries as well. And so we really, really need to have these eligibility criteria expanded. And, you know, having the fishing permits, really the intent is we're trying to help support those in business that are being impacted. The fishermen are very much impacted. I've been on the docks yesterday talking to fishermen. You know, the catch is low this year. The prices because of the global markets are even lower. They are very much at risk there, and I believe you perhaps have a letter from UFA articulating that in your packet today. The small businesses, even if they receive the payroll protection program funding, that went to payroll. That put people to work, and the businesses that I've been talking to have by and large spent that, and those funds don't exist. That didn't go to their bottom line. And the Alaska Cares program can help those businesses stay in business longer and hopefully get through this this season so we can open up the economy more to generate some cash flow in the economy. So really taking a look at expanded eligibility on that is very, very needed. And I would hope that we don't create a bureaucratic process to make them return federal funds in order to be qualified for Alaskan funds. Let's take those federal funds and make sure that we take every bit of our Alaska funds to make them go as far and further as possible. Why loans from any entity would be a disqualifying criteria is something that I don't understand, but what is unfortunate is that we're seeing a lot of people get those EIDL loans because that's the only funds they can get, and they're paying current debt. They're paying their utilities, they're paying their rent, their mortgage, their insurance, the fixed costs that this program is intended to help get them through, and they're incurring debt, which is digging them just into a deeper hole that they may not recover from. And so, you know, I think it's important to realize that each of these businesses are just have done what they've been asked to do from the very beginning. They went out and they applied. Almost half the businesses that responded to the survey received some increment of federal funding, and now they're being penalized because the eligibility does not require does not allow for them to permit. So I think that, you know, expanding the eligibility for those small businesses, allowing fishing permits to be in lieu of business licenses, the inclusion of 501c6s, but it's also, as was mentioned earlier, giving authority to the Department of Commerce to make changes is an important criteria. And I'll just give one example because the 501c6s and the Economic Development Organizations has been listed as legislative intent in some of the announced changes, but not every organization that's an economic development entity is a 501c6. I have one in my same building that's a 501c4. So I think that if the Department of Commerce was empowered to make the changes that fall in line with the intent of the program, that these funds can get where they need to get and hopefully much more quickly than is happening now. Because our businesses, as you look at our survey, two-thirds of them are either very uncertain, moderate risk, or significant risk of permanent failure. So I won't belabor those points, but to say thank you for your attention to this and to please take the action needed to allow these funds, which appear to be sufficient, to go to the need that that the current program rules do not quite allow for at this time. So I will stand by for any questions, and thank you again, Madam Chair and committee members.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. That concludes our invited testimony for this afternoon, and I want to open it up now to committee members in case you have any questions for our invited testifiers before we move on to public testimony. All right. Looks like we don't have any questions from the committee. Then I'm going to go ahead and open up public testimony. And we're going to start with Tyler Davis from Ketchikan. Mr. Davis?
Yeah, so I'm a commercial loan officer in Ketchikan, and we've been working a lot with customers on the PPP loan applications. And one of the great recommendations we've been applying are recommending to those who didn't get the parameters of PPP is the AK CARES grant. And what we're hearing back is it sounds like it's designed well. However, it's not meeting the business's needs. And some of the feedback I'm hearing is, for example, one business applied and received an EIDL advance, and they were declined for the loan. However, because they received $2,000 because they had two employees, they also did not qualify for the AK CARES grant. And so that disqualified them from receiving additional aid to help them meet their business's needs. Another one was a fisherman and read that they needed a business license And when they applied for a business license this year, even though they've operated with a fishing license for all other lending purposes, they were declined because the business license said it was established this year after the cutoff, even though they've been in business fishing for 20 years. These are the kind of obstacles that businesses are facing and losing hope that this program is going to be able to serve their needs. Based on the information that was provided earlier in testimony, it stated that 167 applications were processed in 1 month. That's a rate of 5.5 applications per day for 30 days. This rate sounds very slow, and for the PPP application process, one individual loan officer could process up to 10 PPP applications in 1 day as compared to the entire AK CARES grant program. And so there has to be some form of efficiencies. The paperwork that it looks like they're processing doesn't appear to be so complex that they cannot exceed 5.5, and hopefully there's a way to streamline that process in order to improve their efficiency, because businesses are losing faith and they're communicating that to their peers, and I believe that might be part of why applications may be slowing down for these different programs. PPP officially ended last night, and it sounds like the Congress is working on passing an extension. But with PPP guidelines, the applications were slowing dramatically until the opening to commercial fishermen to include 1099 employees on their PPP application. That did create a burst during the 3 days that that was available since that rule change took place. I believe we will see some more fishermen applying for PPP, although many of them expressed that the AK CARES grant would better meet their needs. They just are not seeing any progress or hearing any updates or feedback on when they would receive some aid from that program. The biggest message that overlays all this is all of them are acknowledging that the loans and the grants are not going to save their business. They are temporary band-aids that are going to support them for 2 to 4 months. After those 2 to 4 months, they are in critical demand for revenue. So as much as these are temporary aids, they should be treated as such, and they should not take place of work towards resolving our revenue challenges. Obviously, testing cannot be ramped up to a point to where we can test everyone in order to make the state safe. So there needs to be additional perspectives to look at how can we protect those that are at risk while allowing us to return revenue to the state at a larger scale in which government aid cannot support. So those are the main themes that we're hearing, and hopefully there's additional ways that we can explore protecting everyone. But ultimately, we need the return of revenue in order to be a long-term solution. Most of our businesses say that they're going to reach their critical level around October of this year when they are running into their normal harvest months. And so all of them are saying that they need to have support until April of 2021 if the return of tourism and the return of business commerce in the state of Alaska opens up 100% by April 2021. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. In looking at the queue of people that have called in to testify today, we've got about another 30 people that want to testify. So at this point in time, since it's 2 o'clock, I'm going to limit testimony to 2 minutes each for people as we move forward. My apologies for the limitation, but I just want to make sure we get through everybody's testimony today. All right, next up we have Jason Paulus from Cordova. Mr. Paulus?
Yes, thank you. I'm calling from Cordova. I just want to thank everybody for the opportunity to speak here. I'm just going to briefly touch on quite a few topics that have already been discussed, and it seemed like everyone was well prepared. I'm just going to kind of shoot from the hip real quick. I'm a commercial fisherman out of Cordova. It's so crucial that you guys allow these permits to be used as business license for so many reasons, but just want to point one thing out on the permits. When we renew our permit yearly, not every 2 years, you know, it's like $600. I opened a business this winter to help me have, you know, revenue for the springtime when I'm getting ready to go fishing, that permit costs $50 or $100. You know, and I had to register two permits this year because I got two boats fishing. And, I got the, finally got approved for a PPP. Well, I'll let you know how that worked out. It was $6,800. I somehow got it in the day before it closed. I got approved. So that's $6,800, which I can only use for a couple different things. I'm $30,000 into the season already. I think I've grossed $4,000, and I got $6,000 where I can only really use $2,000 of it at this point when I get it. And the last point I want to just real quick touch on is the whole state and everybody, we're all in the same boat. This is a crazy disaster. No one's ever experienced anything like this. But also, we've got two disasters going on right now. We ain't got no fish. This is a disaster year. It's a complete run failure for us here on the Copper River. So even, you know, when our business is open back up, there's no business. I mean, this is just, it's crazy. And I just really hope you guys consider opening this up for statewide for more people, not just commercial fishermen, but, I mean, everybody. And thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony today. We appreciate your perspective. All right, next up we've got Colin Dando of Wrangell.
Colin Dando. Hi, my name is Colin Dando. I'm a CPA in Wrangell, Alaska, and I wanted to touch on a lot of things today, most of which have been covered by the invited speakers. One thing that we've noted at CF James is that there's a lack of transparency of what the eligible expenses are. Every loan officer, underwriter, and state person that we've talked to has given us different information for the same questions. So it would be nice to have a unified list that they can go off of so that people get the same information and that these grants aren't being decided on a per-person basis. The other thing is that Wrangell is a huge fishing town, and it's imperative that that rule gets changed so that sole proprietor fishermen are able to apply for this grant. And the other major thing is that PPP and EIDL funding was available in March and April, as everyone's touched on. And just because people were proactive there doesn't mean they should be ineligible for the Alaska CARES grant. One last thing I want to mention is that just because people have a secondary source of income as a small business, we don't believe that that should preclude them from getting some of the Alaska CARES grant because they still have expenses and no income coming in. And that reduces their primary income by expenses from lack of revenue, and that is hurting them as well. So thank you for hearing everyone today, and I hope you implement some of the changes that have been talked about.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. All right. Next up, we've got Lars Strangeland from Juneau.
Yeah, hello. My name is Lars Stangeland. I'm a commercial fisherman and board member of United Southeast Alaska Gillnetters. I'm just speaking to the eligibility of commercial fishermen for this, applying for this CARES grant program. Since the onset of limited entry, it's my understanding we purchased our permits at that time. That allows us to each year buy a license. Now, it may be called a permit, but each year we renew that. Mine happened to be $375 when a normal business license in Alaska costs $50. Each year we have to renew that. The original permit that we purchased or were issued allows us to buy a license each year to prosecute our fishery, to conduct our business. That is the same as any business license out there. You need to renew it each year to do your business. So to preclude commercial fishermen from this for a simple lack of wording would be a travesty. That license or that permit that we renew each year is an Alaska business license. Thank you. That's all I had.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Stanglin. Appreciate your testimony today. All right. Next up is Chelsea Haynesman with the Cordova District Fisherman.
Madam Chair and members of the House. For the record, my name is Chelsea Haysman, and I am the Executive Director of Cordova District Fishermen United. Our organization advocates on behalf of over 800 fishing families in Prince William Sound, the Copper River, and the Northern Gulf of Alaska. I'm calling in today to speak with you all about CARES Act grants. Currently, many fishermen in our region are excluded from applying for this grant funding because Alaska commercial fishing businesses are operated under a permit from the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission rather than under a typical business license. In Area E, 77% of all permit holders are Alaska residents. Here in Cordova, this will have a profound impact on our local economy's ability to recover from this pandemic, as there are 609 commercial fishing permits registered to Cordova addresses and only 480 regular business licenses. This means that over half of the businesses in Cordova are currently not eligible for AK CARES grants. Many fishermen have incurred additional costs in order to meet state of Alaska mandates and to operate safely this season, all while markets for fresh seafood products are suffering nationwide and excessive prices are at very low levels across the board. The effects of this continues to ripple through the community and impacts reach well beyond only fishermen and fisheries businesses. If the state of Alaska is able to amend the requirement to allow commercial fishermen to use their CFEC permit number in lieu of an Alaska business license, this will allow the state to reach their goal of getting these funds out to as many businesses as possible, particularly in rural coastal communities in our state, and will help our fishing fleets weather the economic impacts from this pandemic a little easier. Thank you for your time and consideration of our request and for your dedication to the state of Alaska during this difficult time.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. All right. Next up, we've got Patty Mackey with the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair and committee members. Thank you for the record. My name is Patty Mackey, and I'm the president of the Ketchikan Visitors Bureau. Today, I just want to briefly touch on the things that are impacting our industry in particular. But every story I've heard so far today is almost a mirror of what I'm hearing among our own members and business owners and those folks who are not working this season. Ketchikan's tourism industry, which of course is largely cruise, but also is, we also have a number of fishers that come up, represents over 1,750 direct and indirect jobs and revenue exceeding $260 million. That's in visitor spending, and it doesn't include the workers who spend money while they're working during the season, any money that the industry spends, what crew members off the ship spend, nor does and it also impacts state coffers when it comes to the various fees and fishing licenses that are purchased, as well as business permits and licenses. Our seasonal and year-round businesses that derive their income primarily from May to September are going to have to endure at least 18 months and probably longer before they can expect to start earning again. A majority of our businesses have chosen not to open this year because there's a risk involved and they can't afford startup costs for things like liability insurance, fuel, and other expenses, when they just have no idea if they'll see any revenue come in the door. The other poignant part of the job losses here in Ketchikan are the number of students who would normally come home from college. We have little to nothing to offer them this year. In a survey that we conducted among businesses, we asked them whether or not they could endure. Yes.
Can you wrap up your comments?
Yes, of course. We asked our businesses whether or not they could survive until next season, and of those responding, only 27% said they could. I agree entirely with all of the comments that have been made by your invited testimony as well as those who've spoken. I just urge the state to consider that what you do now is going to have a long impact on the future of our citizens, and I look forward to seeing changes that make this program more helpful. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. I really appreciate it. As a reminder, we have a large number of people who have called in to testify today, and in order to make sure we can make it through everybody who's dialed in, I'm asking folks to limit their testimony to 2 minutes. So I've got a timer going, and when you hear the chimes, that's your hint that your 2 minutes are up. All right, next up we've got Dan Party with the United Southeast Alaska Billnetters. Mr. Party? All right, we're going to move on to Ruben Durant, who is a manager with the Gateway Borough in Ketchikan. Mr. Durant?
Thank you, Madam Chairman and the committee members, for providing that this opportunity for us to provide input on the Act, the Alaska Cares Act. As you've already heard...
Can you identify yourself for the record?
Oh, yes, thank you. Ruben Duran, Ketchikan Gateway Borough Manager.
Thank you.
As you've heard, the borough has been dramatically impacted by the COVID-19 crisis. The business community is struggling to survive not only from the collapse of the tourism industry, but also the entire contraction of the economy. The Alaska CARES Act funding offers a lifeline to those businesses, and the current rules just exclude these businesses from receiving any assistance at all during this time. Now, our local government, the borough, the cities of Ketchikan and Saxon, have joined together and coordinated their local CARES funding to assist local businesses, nonprofits, and individuals. But those funds will just keep the lights on for a month or so. The state's CARES Acts are needed to keep our community going. It sounds like a very large number, of course. When applied, it's a very small number to those individual businesses that are just trying to keep going. And so I would urge the committee to assist in amending the program, which will allow more businesses to participate in the Alaska CARES funding. Thank you very much, Madam Chairman.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Next up, we've got Mike Hammer in Juneau.
Yes, can you hear me?
Sure can. Identify yourself for the record and proceed.
Yes, my name is Mike Hamer. I'm a lifelong commercial fisherman. I'm just calling in regards to the language that makes the funding from the Alaska CARES Act available to the commercial fishermen. I'd just like to say that anybody who's walked the floats, especially in Southeast Alaska or South Central or Dutch Harbor or wherever for that matter, that these boats certainly are small businesses, and many of them are young people who've had to leverage themselves. And since we are in uncharted waters and we don't know where we're going to come out on this thing and what the time frame is, I feel that these people should be eligible for the funds, and maybe it'll give them a fighting chance. Anyway, I don't want to take up too much more time, but I do think that it would be imperative that we change the language that allows these fishermen, and especially our young fishermen, to be able to hold on a while and see if this thing will turn around. I thank you for your time, and have a good day.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Next up, we've got Julie Decker with the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation in Wrangell.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me okay?
Sure can. Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Julie Decker. I work for the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation. I represent broadleaf fishermen, seafood processors, and support sector businesses in the state of Alaska. Today, I just wanted to... echo a lot of the other callers and request that you allow the AK CARES grant program to be amended to allow for commercial fishermen to use their fishing permit issued by the Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission, or CFEC, or a resident crew member license, which is issued by the Alaska Department of Fish and Game. All fishermen will have one or both of these permits or licenses. And I also would like to note that many fishermen do not renew their CFEC or crew member license until right before the fishing season. Consequently, these permits or licenses might not have been in place prior to the COVID disaster declaration. So I would like to make sure that that is noted as well. You know, there's been a lot of confusion regarding the requirements for PPP and the changing guidance related to PPP. Most recently, Thursday or Friday, it was announced to extend it to folks that claim income on a 1099 miscellaneous form on their taxes, which does apply to fishermen. However, prior to that, many businesses had applied for the PPP program, and because of the changing guidance and for a variety of reasons, not only the 1099, they were sort of restricted artificially by banks for what they could apply, and the amounts were sort of lower or vary depending on the time sequence of when they applied over the last couple of months. So, again, I would encourage you to expand the AK CARES grant program. It's very important to the seafood industry. We're seeing depressed prices in salmon of roughly a third. Dungeness crab is below 50%. And so just to wrap up, prices are low. We're impacted. So please allow the expansion of the program to also apply to commercial fishermen. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Next up, we've got Stephanie Brenner with Huna.
Hello?
Hi.
Hello?
Hi.
My name is Stephanie Brenner. I am representing Brenner's Fine Clothing and Gifts in Huna, Alaska. We are a 50-year-old Alaskan business that is currently located at Icy Strait Point in Huna, Alaska. We live in a rural area with 800 people on Chichikov Island, and we rely 100% on the cruise ships for our income. We do not have the opportunity to open as Icy Strait Point is closed this year and will hopefully reopen in April or May of 2021. We are one of the small business owners who followed the advice of the federal government and filed for and received a small amount of PPP money. However, that money has run out. We owe Alaskan family businesses money. We have not, will not be able to weather this storm without additional grants. So we urge the Alaska legislature to open up the Alaska CARES Act to businesses who received over $5,000 in PPP funding, especially in rural areas. We need forgivable grants to keep us open and hopefully to be able to weather this storm until next year or longer. I feel like the legislatures need to do what's best for Alaskans, and they need to do what's best for Alaska businesses and amend the Alaska CARES program. They need to call a special session, and they need to take care of this immediately. Thank you for listening, and I hope they call a special session. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. All right. Next up, we're going to Carol Rushmore in Wrangell. Ms. Rushmore?
Hi there. Thank you very much, Madam Chair and the committee members. My name is Carol Rushmore. I'm the Economic Development Director for the City and Borough of Wrangell. There is basically nothing that I have heard so far that I would disagree with and fully support all the comments that have come before. So just summarizing, including allowing the commercial fishing permits to be counted as the driver's license or in place of the driver's license, the 501c6 nonprofits should be eligible, allow DCCED more authority to make changes within this program so that we're not waiting on the legislature and losing critical time for businesses, that small businesses that were eligible and received PPP should not be penalized from applying for the state's money because many of our business may have received just over $5,000. Even if a percent of that PPP is deducted from what they would receive from the state, it's important that they are eligible to apply. And one of the last couple of points is the fact that while there is a list of eligible expenses, they're not clear. And depending on who you talk to with Credit Union One, you may get a different answer, and the state as well. There needs to be consistency. There's a lot of concern from some of the businesses that, depending on who they talk to or who's reviewing their application for that day, will determine whether an expense or whether their application will be eligible or not. And then the other one is, since there is such a slow response from Credit Union One to these businesses as far as have they been approved or not approved or getting back to them, if they're to receive 100% of their expenses going forward from their application date, and Credit Union One is the responsible for cutting the checks to all these vendors across the state, how can these businesses be assured that those checks are going to get out on time and they're not going to continue to accrue late fees or charges that otherwise they would not have accrued, and how do they follow up with those vendors to make sure that they can still obtain or pay off their necessary payments. So thank you very much again for this time and for this opportunity and for the opportunity for businesses to try to survive. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today, Ms. Rushmore. All right. Next up, we've got Richard Yamada from Kenai.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Sure can.
Hi, this is Richard Yamada with Alaska Charter Association. I represent about 500 charter vessels throughout the state of Alaska. And I agree with all the presenters and commenters prior. I'd just like to put some emphasis on the fact that we would like to see the restrictions removed regarding people that have participated in other loan programs and that the 501c6s get included. Our organization is a 501c6, and we represent these charter operators, and we're a membership-based organization. And with the economic situation as is, we're not getting people joining the organization because they can't afford it, which is just $200 a year. So as you know, our industry has been hurt very bad with the closure of the cruise ship industry, and most of our businesses with the 14-day mandate closes, quarantine basically closed our industry down, and communication is very important, and that's the purpose of our organization. So we thank you for your time, and we hope that you take the lead from the commenters that previously commented. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Next up, we're going to go to Jim Shoemaker in Ketchikan.
My name's Jim Shoemaker. I represent Sportsman's Cove Lodge and small lodge owners in the southern southeast area. 3 points I want to make coming across on this one right now is everyone's covered all of the major concerns concerning your current program. We're going to have another major issue that's going to come down the pike right now, and people haven't run into it yet. But the second thing is there's only X amount of grant money that's going to be available through the state. The next phase that comes around when it comes back to us individually is to go back to existing banks and do some sort of equity extraction right now that will allow us the needed funds to make it to next year and hopefully beyond that. If anybody's been out to the bank right now, you'll find that there is a hesitancy within the banks and including the state of Alaska through ADA in terms of entertaining any long-term equity extraction that may be needed for a continuance of the businesses in southeast Alaska. I ask the state not to be behind the curve on that and to get out in front, whether it comes back from a permanent fund or other funds that are available through ADA, to make funds available, because there is a resistance right now in terms of banks being willing to take any kind of risk at this point, and it's going to take a governmental agency right now to step in and help us shepherd that through. Second point I want to make quickly is that it's been the same mistake time and time again in terms of when government comes out and they implement these programs, and they've got cash on one end and they've got this very narrow pipeline to get the processing through, and the issue is you underfund and you underestimate the amount of flow that's going to come through, and a lot of the agencies that are tasked with this, not only in terms of people processing, but the people further up the line, they're understaffed, they're overwhelmed, they didn't receive the assets that they needed to fund this. I would highly recommend expanding people that can turn in applications to other vendors right now to speed up the process. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. All right. Next up is Annika Estes in Cordova. Ms. Estes, are you there? All right, we're going to move on to Irene Kuzman in Delta Junction.
Hi. Hello.
Go ahead and my name. Identify yourself for the record.
My name is Irene Kuzman. I live in Delta Junction, and I've been in the commercial fishing business for 18 years. I'm calling you today to show support and also request that all commercial fishermen to use their CFPC permits instead of business licenses to allow us access to Alaska caravan. I really appreciate your time and consideration in these matters. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your time today and your testimony. Next up, we've got Debbie Speakman in Kenai.
Hi, good afternoon. This is Debbie Speakman. I am the Executive Director of Kenai Peninsula Tourism Marketing Council. And we are the destination marketing arm for the region of the Kenai Peninsula. It was great to hear from Tim Dillon, and I want to echo his comments that as we're talking to businesses, this is a very dire time. And there was some relief in March, and we had mass cancellations. And there was some relief through EIDL and PPP, but now we are seeing that those are not going far enough. The municipal funds are also not going to make people whole. And we're not asking to make, you know, we know we're not going to be made whole, and we know there's going to be a long road ahead, but we are seeing a lot of businesses closing and ones that will not survive. It's a little disconcerting for me as a business owner myself that the legislature has not called a special session. If not when, and if not now, what are we going to see? It's a very difficult time for businesses. All of our commercial fishermen are out in Bristol Bay, and we're seeing their families rushing to the banks to try to figure out how they're going to apply for AK CARES, learning that they are not able to. And the sat phones and limited communication, we need to be able to support that commercial fishing industry. Looking for a board myself, it would be nice to see the constraints of DCCED lifted so they have some freedom to administrate these funds. And those are my comments for now. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much for your testimony today, Ms. Speakman. All right, next up we've got Richard Harney with Ketchikan. Mr. Harney? All right.
We'll thank you. This is Richard Harney.
Go ahead.
Thank you. This is Richard Harney, Planning Director in Ketchikan Gateway Borough. I just want to echo everything that has been said so far. The AK CARES is really, really important to the businesses down here. We've had a few working groups, and all of them say the same thing. The tourism industry, the fishermen, they all need this money. So I just echo everything that has been said. Thank you.
Short and to the point. Thank you very much, Mr. Harney. Next up, we've got Anastasia Kuzman in Cordova.
Thank you so much, Madam Chair. My name is Anastasia Kuzman. My husband and I have been fishing the Cordova Prince William Sound for 25 years and also do longline and cod fishing year-round. I'm calling to say I'm in huge support of the request to allow commercial fishermen to use their CFEC permit number as a business license. With all the blood, sweat, and tears we have put into the Alaskan economy, I would hope we are seen as a valid business of Alaska. I also would like to add that we applied for the EIDL loan, qualified for a $2,000 advance from them, but were denied for the loan itself. So this makes us automatically ineligible for the AK CARES grant. You do the honor of allowing fishermen to qualify for the AK CARES grant. I urge you to please consider also fixing this issue, too. I appreciate you for taking time out of your busy schedules to hear us fishermen and women out on the matter. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Next up, we've got Kathy Renfelt, the Cordova Chamber of Commerce.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Go ahead.
Thank you. My name is Kathy Renfelt, and I'm the Executive Director of the Cordova Chamber of Commerce. I want to, again, echo the points of Mr. Dillon and some of the other speakers. It is critical that the legislature reconvenes to address these issues with the CARES Act. It is true that the commercial fishermen do need access to these funds, and that will make a huge difference in many Alaskan communities like ours in Cordova, whose industry is primarily commercial fishing. And then the other part, tourism, is also struggling very heavily. So allowing fishermen to use their CFEC permits as a business license would really help in that area, and it seems like a pretty simple fix. I hope it will be on your end. Also allowing businesses who applied for SBA funding and received it to be eligible for this grant money would be very helpful. When that money came out from SBA, there was no indication that there'd be any reason to not apply for it. In fact, businesses were encouraged very strongly to do so, and many businesses would not have done so if they knew that it would make them ineligible for this grant. 501c6 organizations, my organization, the Cordova Chamber of Commerce, is a 501c6 organization, and in our community, we are the entity that is helping to connect these businesses with these funding grants. If we were not doing this work, then there would be no one in our community that was there to help connect and raise awareness and try to assist businesses. Moving forward, we're planning on, and we have been, providing one-on-one support for these businesses, doing everything in our power to help these businesses survive. And this is a 501c6 org. This is somebody who has been excluded from all of their funding sources. So while we're doing everything we can to help these businesses survive, we're being excluded. And we are a membership organization, and when our members can't afford to pay their dues, then we can't afford to operate. So I'd urge you to look into that eligibility as well and address that with the lawsuit that's coming in. And then giving the DCCED authority to make these changes as well. There are businesses that don't quite fit into the qualifications that you've put. One of the reasons is because...
Oh, wrap up your testimony.
Okay, thank you. The last thing I want to say is just expanding the eligibility and making it more flexible, including for businesses who are using this as a secondary income, because sometimes those businesses are also vital. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your testimony today. All right, next up we've got Lindsay Bloom in Juneau.
Hi, this is Lindsay Bloom. Can you hear me?
Sure can. Go ahead.
Great. Thanks. For the record, this is Lindsay Bloom in Juneau, Alaska, and I'm representing an organization called Salmon State. We work to ensure that Alaska remains a place where wild salmon and the people who depend on them thrive for generations to come. Again, I'm going to be reiterating a point that's been well made by most of the speakers before me. So thank you for indulging it. I do want to say, though, this spring we conducted a survey at Salmon State of independent commercial fishermen in Alaska. I thought it was interesting just rereading the survey today that of the 817 people who responded, we were able to verify that 779 were indeed in the commercial fishing industry through the CFEC database and crew license holder database that Julie mentioned earlier, and I think you've heard a lot of great supporting information and data as to why those CFEC and crew licenses should be able to be used, and to adjust the language in the Alaska CARES Act to include those permits as well as business licenses. And that's basically it. In our survey, we
sort of promised these fishermen that we would bring the information and the data that they shared to decision makers, and that's why I wanted to make sure to call in and get on the line today. You know, the number one thing that fishermen expressed to help get them through the season for so many of the reasons with global seafood markets and everything that have already been discussed is just cash infusion as quickly as possible, and so want to reiterate that, and I did send the survey results to the committee for your use, and that's all I had to say. Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for your testimony, Dame Ms. Bloom. All right, next up we've got Alexandra Semilov in Wasilla.
Hi, my name is Alexandra Semilov. We are fishing out of Cordova, and I am in huge support of requesting to allow the commercial fishermen to use their CFEC permits instead of, like, the business licenses. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. All right. Next up, Anastasia Ovchinnikov in Wasilla.
Hi. My name is Anastasia Ovchinnikov. I'm on calling on behalf of all fishermen, commercial fishermen in Alaska. I'm in complete support for all of the commercial fishermen to be able to use their the CFEC permits to apply for the loans, because I believe since us having to renew them and them being so expensive to renew every year, that they should be qualified to use as a business license for the AK CARES grant. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Next up, we've got Guy Montani in Ketchikan.
Good afternoon. This is Jay Matani. I have the gold rush in Ketchikan, Alaska. I also serve on the KVB board. I'm testifying on my behalf. We have been in business 25 years. We've never asked for a handout or a grant. We've paid our taxes like everybody else in this town. I'm a year-round business, but the seasonal businesses are all closed because 90% of the business depends on the cruise ships. We got idle. We got PPP. That is not going to be enough to pay our rent that we will have to pay for 19 and 20 months. Our rents are like $80,000 to $90,000 for a year, even though we got some deals from our landlords for this current year, but we still have to come up with 4 or 5 months of rent before our cruise ship season starts in May. So we need the CARES Act restrictions removed so that we can qualify for the grants. The idols are a loan that's putting us in debt further. I agree with everybody. Give us a chance to survive and make it till April or May of 2021 so that we can start getting income back. We also have to pay our vendors that we made commitments with before COVID hit for our season for 2020. You're facing lawsuits for that too. We've put in our savings. We've used the small idle to pay current rents and small PPPs that have been all used up. So I would urge the committee, I would urge the legislator to get into the special session and remove the restrictions. Give the powers to be authority to adjust and hold our hand for this year till May, June. The cruise might not come till July next year. So please help us out. Don't let us get buried. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for your testimony today. All right, next up we've got Susan Dougherty in Ketchikan.
Hello, my name is Susan Dougherty. I'm the executive director of Southeast Alaska Seiners Association. I represent S01A permit holders in Southeast Alaska, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak. According to Congressman Young, Alaska's seafood sector is a central pillar of our state's economy, and this crucial industry has taken a tremendous hit from the COVID-19 pandemic, end quote. But because our industry is made up of tens of thousands of independent permit holders, we don't fit in a tidy little box when it comes to qualifying for traditional aid, whether it be our business plans or for loan funding. And COVID relief and aid is yet another example of a vital sector being left out once again. The federal relief packages, which were written with the intention that fishermen and crew could qualify, were just recently changed, giving our sector 5 days to apply for PPP loans that most businesses have had the ability and to access for months. My fleet is on the fishing grounds with no time or access to information or internet that would have allowed them to scramble to qualify. So that relief opportunity has sunset. The state requirements to access relief money through the $290 million set aside for small businesses also misses the target because of the business license requirement. We respectfully request that an exemption be made for fishermen to allow CFEC permits to qualify in lieu of a business license when applying for funds. Additionally, if there's a deadline to file, that date be taken takes into account that fishermen are fully engaged and on the water until October of this year, and that there be an opportunity for them to apply and that money didn't run out because of folks who were able to apply and during this intermittent time frame. And I appreciate the opportunity to testify, and I hope you will take this under advisement.
All right. Thank you for your testimony today. Next up, we've got Asia Vernon in Dutch Harbor.
Hi, my name is Asia Vernon from Dutch Harbor, Alaska, and I'm representing our fishing charter, Keeping It Real Charters Unlimited. We've been in business, this is our third year now, and we're struggling out here in Dutch Harbor because even though the city has, or the state has let people come in if they get tested for COVID, our city is making people quarantine for 14 days, which none of our customers have time or money to quarantine for 14 days before they take a charter. So evidently all of our charters got canceled this season, and this is still in effect, so we don't know how long or if we'll even have any charters this season. Our business is pretty much all from tourists. We applied for the Alaska Cares Act, and we haven't heard anything from the day they've opened, June 1st. And we also applied for the city grant here in Dutch Harbor. And right now we are being considered an essential business. And so our concern is maybe to have this looked at more, because right now, as it's looking, we aren't going to be getting any help with any grant. So, yeah, we're just hoping that you guys take a look at this and help the smaller businesses out. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Next up, we've got David Adams in Sandpoint.
Hello. First, I'd like to just say that COVID has directly impacted the revenues of the Greenview Bed and Breakfast.
Mr. Adams, can you identify yourself for the record first?
Yes, I'm David Adams.
Thanks.
First of all, I'd like to directly say that COVID's affected the revenues of Marine View Bed and Breakfast, which we manage, as we have experienced cancellations, including the more lucrative bear hunt during the month of May. Compared to July 1st, 2019, and now, business is down 70%. And we have numerous cancellations throughout the rest of the summer, and so that loss percentage is getting higher. Our employer hasn't been able to pay us, as he's so far in debt. We don't anticipate he'll ever be able to pay us, so essentially we are working for an employer unable to give us a paycheck or bonus incentives until at least the end of the year, if ever. We also have a small business fishing operation, set net holder, that has been directly impacted by having a crew member fly into Sandpoint 2 weeks early. We have to quarantine, feed, and house them, an expense we ordinarily don't do. COVID caused Raven to lose 90% of their business in a matter of weeks back in March, and as a result, air travel is becoming expensive. COVID so far has added at least $2,693 just on airfare, lodging, and meals to bring in a crew member 2 weeks in advance. And for some permit holders, it's a lot higher than that. On a larger scale, seafood plants are flying their employees 2 to 4 weeks in advance and renting Anchorage hotels to quarantine, feed their employees, and then when they arrive to their final destination are quarantining them from other employees, all of which will directly affect their bottom line, which means fishermen will have to be the ones to cover those costs. Some have said COVID has caused the price to drop at least 25 to 50 cents or more off the price of sockeyes alone. We've applied for PPP and now pursuing a loan grant funding from Alaska, but we have been denied because our 2019 Schedule C showed a loss. If we didn't pay a crew or make repairs, we would have actually showed a profit last year. Any grant or loan we would have received would have directly gone to our crew so that they wouldn't have to endure any more fiscal hardships and pain while we continue to...
Mr. Adams? Looks like we lost Mr. Adams. All right, next up is Lisa Gabriel in Kenai.
My name is Lisa Gabriel. I'm calling from Kenai. I'm a director for the Kenai Peninsula Fishermen's Association. We support the inclusion of commercial fishing permits as a qualifier for the Alaska CARES Act funding. We do not support penalizing commercial fishing businesses because they work another job during the winter. We support 501c6s being included in the CARES Act funding. Our association is supported by membership fees and gaming revenue. Both have been significantly reduced because of the impacts of COVID restrictions. Commercial fishing businesses should be eligible for AK CARES Act funding, even if they receive PPP, EIDL, or municipal relief. We support giving DCCED the authority to make a minor changes in the program as they arise. We appreciate your efforts to get the funds from this program out to the small independent business owners of the state. It is time that we get these funds into the hands of these small commercial fishing business owners and into their local communities. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Next up is Craig Carson in Ketchikan.
Hello, this is Craig Carson calling from Ketchikan. Appreciate everybody's time today. We have owned retail businesses in Ketchikan for 30 years and been through some highs and lows. Of course, we're going through the low of the low right now. We did receive some PPP money and also a little help from the SBA disaster money, which was much needed. We're looking at probably 18-plus months without being able to open because we're cruise ship store related. We would just like to see the CARES money for the small businesses be opened up to businesses that did receive federal grants. And anyway, I'm echoing what other people have said, but I really appreciate considering opening it up to retail small businesses that received federal funding. Thank you again very, very much.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Next up, we have Maxine Kuzmin in Homer.
Hi. My name is Maxine Kuzmin. I'm a gill netter in the town. And I was denied for the EIDL because I established my business last year and my taxes were not available for the 2019 year. And my 2018 taxes were not up to its fullest potential of my small, didn't recognize my small business. And my tax guy is slammed because of the coronavirus pandemic. And he can't get it done for me in time. And I'm just wondering if there's any way, to, get the CARES grant passed so that it recognizes the new small businesses as well. I'm in full support of the commercial fishing AK CARES grant being passed. And that's all I have to say.
All right. Thank you very much for your testimony today. We had a few folks fall off the line while we were working our way through a testimony, so we have reached the end of our public testimony at this time. I want to thank everybody who called in to testify here today. I'm going to officially close public testimony and ask if there are any comments from committee members that they'd like to make. Representative Stutz?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I appreciate it, and I certainly appreciate the opportunity of this meeting today. I'd like to put on the record that I've been working with the DCCED and the Governor's Office since mid-May to ensure that a CFEC permit qualifies as a business license for the Alaska CARES grant. Every week, the department has told us they're working diligently to make the CFEC permit holders eligible with the second tranche of funding. When the changes were announced to the second tranche of funding on the 17th of June, the department again told us they were working on adding CFEC permits as an eligible business license. I don't want to be hopeful any longer. I want an answer. CFEC permit holders were eligible for PPP. They filed as a business with the IRS, and the RPL itself defines eligible applicants as, quote, any small business licensed to do business in the state, unquote. A CFEC permit is a license to sell fish in Alaska. The state does not require a traditional business license for commercial fishing. A CFEC permit is required in statute to land and sell fish. That's all the state requires. Yet I have yet to be provided with a rational explanation as to why CFEC permit holders are currently ineligible, and promises of fixing the issues have not been materialized. So in light of those facts, Madam Chair, and given this outstanding issue as well as other issues that we're hearing about today, I would like to have another committee meet. I would request that we have another hearing in Labor and Commerce as soon as possible, and having in attendance our commissioner of DCCED and Credit Union One representatives in order to answer these questions directly.
You beat
Thank
me
you, Madam
it.
Chair, for that yeah. opportunity.
You beat me to it, Vice Chair Stutz. I agree that I think we need to hear from the commissioner and some of her team, as well as the Credit Union One staff, to try to get a handle on what it is that they're doing to respond and address many of the concerns that were brought up today. Next up, Representative Hannon has a question.
Thank you, Chair Sponholz. I think perhaps my points were addressed by Representative Stutz, because I'm a little confused as to where the administration is, have been led to believe that many of the problem issues that we're hearing about and have been hearing from our constituents are able to be addressed without additional legislation. But I'm unclear as to whether that's a misinterpretation and whether we need specific legislation, or whether they are within the purview and the latitude that DCCED already has that to make those changes. And I don't know if you can clarify it, or if a hearing where we can put on the record those questions would address it best.
Representative Hannon, I believe some of the changes that are being suggested would need to be done in legislation. Some of them may also be able to be done in regulation, and there appears to be some differing opinions on that. And so I think having a hearing on that, where we hear from the department as well as potentially Department of Law, as well as from our attorney, Megan Wallace, about this topic, so we can sort of fully flesh out the problem and the solutions that need remedied, is in order. So we'll be working on that for next week. Representative Story is up next.
Yes, thank you, and thanks to everyone who testified today, and we have more of this on the record now, and I really do want to have a meeting as soon as possible. I did have I do have some specific questions for the commissioner, too. One of them is, we heard many people talk about 501c6s today, and the Alaska CARES grant being expanded to include those. I'm also wondering about 501c4s, and I would like to hear, they're primarily economic development organizations too, and I believe Robert Venables mentioned them, but I would like to ask the department about those being included. I also have had some citizens reach out to me who are small business owners under 50, but they have part-time businesses. And they are providing supplemental income to either just their jobs are just limited income, and they have a taxi cab, a couple of food carts, and are wondering now they've lost that supplemental income, if they could be included or be eligible. And then one question that's come up, I'm not sure who would know the answer to, but I've heard from some constituents wondering if AlaskaCare's grants will be required to report as income to the IRS for their business's 2020 income. And I'm not sure if anyone knows the answer to that right now, but I would like to, maybe the department could let us know about that.
All right.
And I've also heard from some businesses who have really invested in a lot, like many, in a lot of equipment for health reasons, particularly some medical offices, dental offices, and are wondering if there is any relief available or could be made available through this program for those investments. So I think there's lots of questions that we could also benefit by hearing from the department.
Yes, I agree. Thanks very much for getting those questions out on the record. Representative Gillis, do you have any questions or comments you'd like to make?
Yes, ma'am. Representative Stutz was right. Fishing permits should be counted as business licenses. And we have a lot of people in this state right now that are pretty well hurting. And we need to do something and do it pretty fast. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot of businesses go broke. And I don't think we really will. We don't want that. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for that. Representative Rasmussen, do you have any comments? All right. And let's see. Did Representative Fields end up joining us? All right. Were there any other legislators on the line that wanted to make any comments?
Yes, Madam Chair. This is Representative Sullivan Leonard.
All right. Proceed.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair. And I just want to say thank you for hosting this meeting today. I think it's really important to hear from those of us that are affected, across the state. We did hear certainly quite a bit of testimony with regard to the challenge in fisheries. I certainly would like to hear more from our small businesses that are feeling the effect of property taxes that are still in play that they are challenged with, as well as the challenge with PPP, EIDL funding, and the CARES Act funding. So appreciate the continuation of this discussion. And Madam Chair, if you don't mind, if you'd keep me in the loop, I'd like to help get the notice out to members here in the Mat-Su Valley. Thank you so much.
Absolutely, and I appreciate your reaching out to our office today about inviting folks from the Mat-Su Valley. We have also shared information about this hearing on social media, and folks can feel free to share that information. We'll do that again with the next hearing coming up. We can make sure that the information gets out pretty broadly. Are there any other comments or questions from other legislators on the line?
This is Representative Story.
All right, Representative Story.
Thank you. I am wondering if it is possible, if one of the steps to turn this as quickly as possible around, if this request to include the limited entry permits as being eligible and everything that was talked about today, if that could not go out in another RPL or an adapted RPL to legislative budget and audit, smaller group to get together who could meet more quickly and expedite this since we are not in session now.
Representative Story, the challenge with that is that legislative budget and audit doesn't actually have the authority to broaden the scope of any programs, and the
program that we're describing was actually approved by the entire legislature. And so currently it's the opinion of our legislative attorney that any, you know, structural changes in the program would need to go through, would need full legislative action. And I think that that's one of the things that we should explore a little bit in next week's hearing.
Thank you.
Yeah, absolutely. Is John Bittner still on the line?
Yes, I am.
Fantastic. So, Mr. Bittner, one of the questions that we had was whether we knew of any specific sectors beyond the fishing industry and the nonprofit C6s have been sort of, you know, excluded kind of structurally by the program or maybe underrepresented, and the recipients, you may not be able to answer the question, but I thought I would ask it in case you could.
To my knowledge, Madam Chair, sorry, this again for the record, this is John Bittner with the NKSBDC. To my knowledge, those two examples are the main exemptions. I'm not aware of any others that are similar in nature.
All right. I think that's going to be a topic that's going to come up in our next hearing as well. So if between now and then you have any additional information to share with us, please do let the committee chair know. Thank you. All right, so I want to thank everybody for your time today. It's a few minutes after 3, and I just want to make a couple of comments. I think we heard pretty clearly that there was 4 substantive changes to the AK Care program, CARES program, that are needed, and that includes allowing fishing permit holders or licensees to count as a business license for the purpose of eligibility to allow C6s and potentially C4s, although that may be a little bit more problematic, to be eligible. Many C4s are political organizations, and so there may be some problems with that. Allow businesses that have received PPP or EIDL loans or grants in the past to be eligible, and then to allow the Department of Commerce and Community and Economic Development to make modest eligibility changes as they hear from small businesses across the state about needed updates. We are going to have another hearing tentatively. That's scheduled for now for next Tuesday afternoon. We'll get information out to the entire committee and post that on BASIS so that we can make sure that everybody is aware of it. We will hear from, at that point in time, from Commissioner Julie Anderson and her team, as well as hopefully representatives from Credit Union One, to try to understand a little bit more about what some of the limitations and challenges are in the program. And we'll also like to hear from Megan Wallace, our legislative attorney, about some of the restrictions, potentially from the Department of Law, about their interpretation. If there is anybody else in the community that would like to submit testimony to the House Labor and Commerce Committee, they can do so by sending an email to HLAC, which is short for House Labor and Commerce, at akleg.gov, and those comments go out to the entire committee. With that, it is now 3:08 p.m., and this hearing of the House Labor and Commerce Committee is now adjourned.